All right, let's pray. Well, Father, thank you for this morning and this day. Lord, we pray that you would open our ears to hear, that you would soften our hearts to receive from your word, and I pray that you would give me clarity as I speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the past few weeks, Brad has been working through some of the material from Proverbs, discussing communication, specifically the tongue and speaking. So this morning, I get the opportunity to discuss the other side of that. And instead of the outward that comes out of us, but the going in, and to discuss the ears. So the tongue came with many warnings, as we think of the warnings in Scripture that it starts fires, that it is untamable, that it is a world of iniquity and a restless evil full of deadly poison. So that's the kind of fun that Brad had with you guys. I get the ears, which are floppy and full of wax. They're not really the same kind of impression. I mean, you can put a hole in them and hang something from them to try to spruce them up a little bit. But is there really anything significant about ears and our hearing in God's word? Well, we'll see shortly that God is not silent concerning this matter. And it is plain to see, but I believe frequently overlooked, that communication was designed by our Creator. We see in Genesis, in the beginning, that God speaks, that sound existed before light, that God spoke light into being. We take light for granted. We know He created that, but that the sound and the speech, the communication, was from the Creator. And later in the New Testament, we know that Christ is the Word made flesh, that man was created with both a need for and the capacity to receive the Word. Proverbs 20, verse 12 says, "The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made both of them." I don't think any of us would argue with that, but it's something to consider that even our hearing is from the Lord. If we think about it, the tongue is useless without the ear. So many would argue that we are the product of evolution, but if you consider the intricacy of speech and of hearing and how they interact, they're mutually dependent. What evolutionary process could have simultaneously developed speech and hearing when they are mutually dependent and essential to each other? Sure, the tongue could taste something good, but it couldn't tell anyone about it or ask for more if there was no ear to hear the request. We can clearly see that communication is of divine origin and design, and that it requires a transmitter, a message sending, and a receiver. Now, what receivers do we have? Typically, we think of the five senses. So we have our eyes, our receivers, touch, taste. We go with hearing in this case. So what is hearing? So to hear, to perceive by the ear, to feel an impression of sound by the proper organs, to enjoy the sense or faculty of perceiving sound. So he is deaf, he cannot hear. What then is listening? If we're comfortable to know what hearing is, what is listening? So to listen is to hearken, to give ear, to attend closely with a view to hear, to obey, to yield to advice, and to follow admonition. So it's helpful. I found a chart that compares hearing and listening, just to give us a little bit of context when we're looking at Scripture. What are we talking about? Are we talking about hearing or listening, or what is the sense of what we're looking at? So hearing is an ability that some of us have, some don't. But listening is a skill. Somebody who is not able to physically hear is still able to listen. We have written word, which is akin to speech. It is something that we can receive as communication. So listening is a skill. Hearing is continuous. You can't, unless you have a hearing aid, turn your hearing on and off. But listening is temporary. If you're a parent and have small children, you know what I'm talking about. You are always hearing them, but you are not always listening, and vice versa, right? Okay. Hearing is a physical action. Listening is psychological. So hearing occurs at a subconscious level. Listening is a conscious exercise, an effort. Concentration is not required for hearing. You can be hearing something without focusing on it, but listening will require that focus. We use this fairly interchangeably. I could say, can you hear me? And you would all, I hope, say, yes. If I ask you, are you listening? Those that are listening might nod, but it's asking for something slightly different. Like I said, you wouldn't say of the deaf that they are listening impaired. Now, some people are listening impaired, but that does not speak to their ability to hear. It is their desire and effort to listen. Now, we have all sorts of confusing language when it comes to this area. So, husbands, you've likely heard something to this effect. Please hear my heart. You may have heard something like that from your wife. Please hear my heart. And that would be a bad time to get your stethoscope and pull it out and say, yep, it's beating. Would not go well for you. So use wisdom. I haven't made that mistake. I just can recognize that it would be a mistake. So we have confusing language because to hear, the ability to hear your heart would seem like listening for a heartbeat. But we use these interchangeably. Different people have different connotations for it. I spoke with Naftali about it. Because sometimes you say, well, I know you're listening, but do you hear me? Which seems counterintuitive. Or yes, you hear me, but are you listening? Like we kind of go back and forth. Ultimately, though, we looked at the tongue, which is an outlet of the heart. The ears, I would say, are an inlet to the mind. Ears hear, and the mind listens. We have multiple words that we use and different meanings for them. When we look at the Old Testament, the Jews had a word, Shema. It had the whole gamut of meaning. It could mean anything from to hear and to listen and obey, depending on its use. But it's a prominent word, over 1,160 occurrences in the Bible. I'll give you some of the more notable ones that are going to be applicable to the listening side. Probably the most famous, Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I commanded you today shall be on your heart. Words on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontals on your forehead, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So a lot of communication language in there. Hear, O Israel. This is not the, hey, listen up. This is listen and obey. The Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God. This is a command. So that is referred to as the Shema. Another one would be Genesis 11:7, which, come, let us go down and there confuse their language so that they will not understand, that's our word, one another's speech. So in judgment at Babel, the Lord removed the ability not for them to hear. They could likely still hear each other, but they couldn't understand. They couldn't communicate to receive and to derive meaning from what the other person was saying. Let's look at the first time we see Shema, Genesis 3. Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you, and toil you will eat. So again, because you have listened, there's our word, to the voice of your wife. Is Adam in trouble for listening to her voice? No. He sinned in his obedience, in his acting out based on those words. So it might be helpful when we consider this word, Shema, to be more, to be fuller, to hear, to heed, to understand, and obey. Hear, heed, understand, and obey. So this was a word that had a backbone, you could say. When we come to Proverbs, Solomon is not checking that his son can hear him, that his cell reception is good. You know, can you hear me, son? I just want to tell you something really important. He is desiring his son. He is saying, hear me, hear my words, heed my words, understand my instructions, and obey what I am telling you. So for our discussion this morning, it's helpful to consider four categories, four buckets, if you will, into which we can separate some of the key functions of biblical hearing and listening. We can, one, listen for the purpose of instruction. Two, listen for the purpose of caution. Three, listen for the purpose of correction. And four, listen for the purpose of exhortation. Exhortation may be comfort, encouragement, but exhortation. So as a simple example, as a parent, we know with our children, we've all had this experience that we need to instruct them. The stove is hot, do not touch it. It's important that they hear that instruction. If we don't tell them that the stove is hot and that there's danger there, that we should expect them to get hurt. So we instruct. It's important for them to hear for that purpose. We'll caution. We may give a warning when we see them near the stove. Watch out. You could burn yourself. That will hurt. So there's instruction. There's caution. How about the inevitable? I told you not to touch it, and you disobeyed and got a burn. It's correction now. There's one of the purposes of hearing is to listen for correction. And then, fourth, the exhortation, the comfort, make sure to obey me next time and be more careful. We want to give further instruction, remind them of what we had instructed them in the past, tie in their learning from what has just happened. So this is a very simple paradigm, but this is happening in God's Word. We have the purpose of hearing in all of these things. So if you'll open your Bibles to Proverbs 1, verse 8, let's look through at some of the verses discussing instruction. We're not going to look at all of the instructions because there are many. Today we're going to look at specifically the verses that address the need for instruction. So Proverbs 1, verse 8, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. So right at the beginning of Proverbs, we have the introduction of hearing, hear my son, listen, my son. Take what you hear and implement it into your life. And he establishes the father's instruction, the mother's teaching, even just the structure of the home is built into this communication design. Proverbs 2, verses 1 and 2. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. Again, simple instruction, teaching his son, listen to the people that the Lord has put in authority that are in charge over you. Receive my words. I will be giving you words that are important for you to heed. I have advice that will be beneficial to you. We just take this for granted. It is parenting. This is what Solomon is doing, but it is something so specific. Make your ear attentive. So don't just ignore what I'm saying, but be listening. Proverbs 4, verse 1. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. So we have the introduction of not just instruction and teaching, but understanding. Proverbs 4:10, "Hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many." There will actually be benefit from this instruction as you listen to the words of your father, the listen to the words of a teacher, that your years will be many. It will have a practical and beneficial impact on your life. So these are a brief intro to the purpose of hearing for instruction. Second, we'll look at the purpose of hearing for caution. If we move on to Proverbs 10, verse 8, "The wise of heart will receive commands, but a babbling fool will be ruined." This is a caution. There may be signs in his son that he's recognizing this, but we all know that babblers do not stop to listen. They want to speak. They have lots to say, but very little to hear. "The wise of heart will receive commands, but a babbling fool will be ruined." He's cautioning his son. "The wise will gain wisdom by listening." If you're too busy speaking, you won't be listening. You won't be able to receive that instruction. Proverbs 10, verse 17. "He is on the path of life who heeds instruction, but he who ignores reproof goes astray." If you cease listening, you will go astray. You will reap what you have sown, and there will be a consequence. It's a caution. Proverbs 10, 21. "The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of understanding." So a fool will go hungry for understanding despite the words of the righteous. In a sense, there's food there, but he's going hungry. Why? Because he is foolish and he won't heed those words. He won't hear, heed, listen, and obey the words of the righteous, those that have wisdom and understanding. It doesn't make it into his stomach and impact his life. Proverbs 12, 15, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel." Proverbs 13, 20, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." So if you spend time around wise men, if you make them your company, you will be wise. Why? Likely, it won't be a group of wise men who never talk. There will be wisdom shared. You will glean from them as you are taught, as you listen to what they say. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. Why? Well, again, they will be listening to foolishness. They will be taking in foolishness. There will be a consequence. Solomon does not want his son to make that mistake. Proverbs 14, 6 and 7, "A scoffer seeks wisdom and finds none, but knowledge is easy to one who has understanding. Leave the presence of a fool, or you will not discern words of knowledge." Very similar to our last one. It's a warning. Listening to foolishness will dull your ability to recognize wisdom. What you are hearing, you will also be listening to. What you are listening to, you will be internalizing. This happens even unintentionally in some ways, but it is best done intentionally. Proverbs 19, 27. "Cease listening, my son, to discipline, and you will stray from the words of knowledge." Again, he's repetitive in these warnings because we are slow to listen. To cease listening will have a negative effect. It's clear and evident over and over. Proverbs 21, verse 28, "A false witness will perish, but the man who listens to the truth will speak forever." It's an interesting one. A false witness, false words, that testimony, what you have said, will perish, will pass away. But the man who listens to the truth will speak forever. Listening will provide wisdom, and wisdom and truth will endure beyond the life of the man. But deceit, falsehood will perish, it will pass away. Proverbs 28, verse 9. He who turns away his ear from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination. We see here that by rejecting the law, by failing to listen to it, that is rebellion against the Lord. In Proverbs 29, verse 1, a man who hardens his neck after much reproof will suddenly be broken beyond remedy. That's a stern warning. A man who hardens his neck after much reproof. What are we tempted to do after much reproof? We may not say harden our neck, but if you even just picture that, it's just, we shut it out. We close off to that reproof. And if it's godly reproof, we are putting ourselves in danger, that we will actually be broken beyond remedy. So we have instruction for the purpose of, we have hearing for the purpose of instruction, for the purpose of caution. Third, the purpose of correction. We'll go back to Proverbs 13, verse 1. A wise man accepts his father's discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. So rebuke is necessary, and it is for the good of somebody. And a wise son will accept the discipline. So there's going to need to be discipline that is verbal, a reproof, a rebuke, and a scoffer. So somebody who's a scoffer, we're looking at, this is an identity. Not that they did one time scoff, but they are a scoffer and they are repeatedly mocking, closing off to what they hear and the instruction. They will not listen to a rebuke. They will not turn. They will not repent. Proverbs 13:10. Through insolence comes nothing but strife, but wisdom is with those who receive counsel. Again, a rejection of listening, a rejection of hearing, the counsel, the advice that you receive, the correction, it's rebellion. Proverbs 13:18, poverty and shame will come to him who neglects discipline, but he who regards reproof will be honored. Generally, those who are neglecting discipline are seeking some type of honor, some type of reward, some type of thing that they have treated as an idol. They will receive instead poverty and shame. And those who accept discipline, who listen to discipline, will receive the honor that they weren't even seeking necessarily. Proverbs 17:10. A rebuke goes deeper into one who has understanding than 100 blows into a fool. What a difference that listening will make, the desire to hear, heed, understand, and obey. 100 blows into a fool. Proverbs 19:25, strike a scoffer and the naive may become shrewd, but reprove one who has understanding and he will gain knowledge. So even to the unsaved, to the non-Christian, discipline is beneficial. There is a result that they may become shrewd. They'll learn from it. But reprove one who has understanding and he will gain knowledge. He will benefit from it. We need to be those that are quick to receive reproof when we're corrected. And we need to obviously be reproving in love to others, but just over and over, and we're just walking through Proverbs. This is just everywhere you look. Proverbs 25, verse 12. Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. It's an adornment, a blessing. It brings beauty when one receives, when there is a listening ear to a wise reprover. So this was the purpose of listening for correction. Fourth, we have listening for exhortation, for encouragement, for comfort. Proverbs 1, verse 33. But he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. There is peace. There is comfort here. He who listens shall live securely. Proverbs 18, verse verse 15. The mind of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. There's already been instruction here. There's prudence and wisdom and knowledge, and this is an encouragement to continue, that as that process continues, you will continue to gain, to accumulate, you will acquire. Shows the benefit of listening and that it's treasure, acquiring knowledge. Proverbs 19, verse 20. Listen to counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your days. Proverbs 22, 17 and 18. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your mind to my knowledge. For it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, that they may be ready on your lips. As you gain knowledge and understanding and wisdom, you are able to give knowledge and understanding and wisdom. It will be pleasant if you keep them within you. You will be blessed. Proverbs 23, verse 19. Listen, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. Obviously, there's been instruction of what the way is. This isn't the first time he's said, direct your heart in the way. But what is the way? What is the way by which we are living? Obviously, it was demonstrated by Christ. Right? We know that there is a way in which a Christian ought to live, and we are to listen and be wise and direct our heart in that way. We are called and enabled to hear, heed, understand, and obey for the purposes of instruction, caution, correction, and exhortation. I have a quote from Matthew Henry, and he says, in discussing Deuteronomy and the word Shema, "Hear, O Israel, hear and heed, hear and remember, hear that you may learn and keep and do, else your hearing is to no purpose. When we hear the word of God, we must set ourselves to learn it, that we may have it ready to us upon all occasions. And what we have learned, we must put in practice, for that is the end of hearing and learning," putting in practice. "Not to fill our heads with notions or our mouths with talk, but to rectify and direct our affections." To direct and rectify, to correct our affections and conversations. So not only internally, but outwardly, our conversations, our interactions, our relationships with others. So what we have learned, we must put in practice, for that is the end of hearing and learning. It's very interesting. What does it look like to put this into practice? How do we put learning into practice? In a word, obedience. Now, we have a challenge that young people at this point, the coming generations, are trained not to have listening ears, not to have wisdom and understanding, but to have opinions. They have a right to their opinion, which isn't necessarily grounded on anything. It's not wisdom or understanding necessarily, but it's theirs, and they can have that. There is so much noise surrounding us, and we often are overwhelmed and confused by the contrasting messages. Just to put this in perspective, I Googled the word sermon. So even a very isolated type of thing that we are looking for instruction, to hear, to listen to, sermon. 172 million hits. Now, I didn't Google good sermon to see what portion of that would be good, but the point is, there's more there than you will ever, and that's just, yeah, you understand. 172 million, that's a lot. That's sermon. What about listen? Google the word listen and see 2.9 billion hits. Listen. There's so much there that it boggles our mind. How are we to practically listen and obey when there is so much going on? Sinclair Ferguson says, "There is a sensory feast, but a hearing famine." There's noise. There's noise everywhere, but there isn't true biblical hearing, listening, and obedience. And the time left, I'd like to take a brief look at the New Testament, which should solidify our understanding that biblically defined listening and hearing will result in obedience. Let's look at Mark 9, verse 7. Then a cloud formed, overshadowing them, and a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." It's an interesting, like, one line. The Lord audibly speaks, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Christ is the living Word made flesh, who we are to listen to and obey. The Lord is not saying, "Consider what he says. It's important for you to have an opinion on what he says." No, there is obedience implied in that listen to him. Mark 4, verse 9, and several other places in Scripture. Christ says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So those who have the ability to receive the communication will listen and act accordingly. This is not speaking of the physical ability to hear. Otherwise, everybody who heard Christ would have obeyed. But there is a difference in listening, perceiving the message that he is speaking. So he who has understanding and a desire to obey will hear, will listen. Those ears, spiritual ears to hear, are given by the Lord. Mark 4, verse 20. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil. Parable of the soils. And they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. So in this case, hearing, those who hear the word, are those that the seed was sown. They have heard the gospel. They have accepted that it was good soil, not just in their own decision they accepted the Lord. We're not talking about that, but it's the combination. It was the gospel, the seed on good soil. The Lord had prepared that soil. So hearing and accepting equals what? Results in fruit. 30, 60, 100-fold. Doing. Obedience. Longer portion in John, chapter 10, verse 1 and through. So, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name." There's hearing, listening, a voice, there's recognition. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. As Christians, we are enabled to hear and listen to the wisdom that God is giving us. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Later on, verse 8, "All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." Verse 16, "I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice." Verse 19, "A division occurred among the Jews because of these words. Many of them were saying, 'He has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him?'" He just explained why some are listening to him. They have been given ears to hear. It's before their very ears, and they don't hear. Why do you listen to him? Why do we listen to him? We've been given ears to hear the word of life. Christ will speak to his flock. His sheep will recognize his voice. and his sheep are not to follow other shepherds. Practical implication. Turn to James 1, 19. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Well, so we are to receive this word implanted in us. What will happen? We will desire to put aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. We'll experience humility. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. That word hearers, there's four occurrences. They're all negative in God's word. To be a hearer, again, like we talked about earlier, a scoffer, a hearer is somebody who is always hearing. What is a doer? A doer would be characterized by a pattern of hearing and obeying, acting on what they have heard. We don't want to be merely hearers, only receiving the sound, but not the wisdom that is there. Prove yourselves doers of the word, not merely hearers and who delude themselves. For if anyone is hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. The looking in the mirror has done nothing for him. He's taken nothing from it. But one who looks intently at the perfect law and abides by it, not having become forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Listening will produce obedience in the children of God. Luke 6, verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation. And the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. The one who has heard and acted accordingly will be blessed. There is a right, logical, and inevitable obedience that will result in the life of one who has ears to hear. Romans 2, verse 13. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but it is the doers of the law who will be declared righteous. Why? Why will the doers of the law be declared righteous? Because of works? Of course not. Then why? Because they have received the word implanted, which is able to save their souls. The obedience, the doing of the law, must come from the listening and heeding to the law, the word implanted, Christ in us. So how can we then glorify the Lord with our ears, full of wax though they may be? How can we glorify the Lord with them? One important question we can ask ourselves is, what are you hearing and listening to? 2.9 billion options. Google will help you listen to. What are you listening to? When you are listening to something, consider, what is the source? Who is transmitting this message? What are they trying to convince me of? So, who is counseling you, speaking to you, and instructing you in what you're listening to? And are you taking responsibility for what you are hearing? Is the information informing your mind of the truth and honoring the Lord? Or is it white noise? Is it static? Is it just music in the background? Or is it actually harmful? Are you listening to things, whether it is audio things or whether it is written text form? Social media, the internet, what are you listening to? Is this going to inform your mind of the truth and honoring the Lord? Or is it encouraging more opinion? As you read Scripture, let's remember our four buckets. How are you reading Scripture? When you read, are you looking for, is there instruction here for me? Is there a caution here? Is there correction that is due from what I am reading? Is there an exhortation and encouragement and comfort that I am to take from what I am reading? This is an intentional act of listening to God's word. And does your hearing result in doing as the fruit of the word in your hearts and minds? Not legalism, not works, but fruit of what the Lord has done. Does your hearing result in doing? If it doesn't result in doing, you are a hearer, constantly hearing. And we need to be aware of that. Ultimately, our efforts to listen to others is an act of love. Listening is a skill. We can improve our listening, but to truly listen and care for the other person, to seek their good above your own, to love them, will motivate that listening. That's something that we can all be encouraged in and convicted in, but intentional in as well. That is all I have this morning. We're out a little bit early, but I will pray and we can fellowship. Well, Father, thank you for your word, and that it is a word that you intended to communicate to us, that you have designed us to receive from you. Lord, that is a blessing that we take for granted, and I pray that you would give us ears to hear, that we might hear, heed, understand, and obey. Thank you for Christ. Thank you for the word implanted in us. In Jesus' name, amen.